Well, good morning, everyone. Quiet for once. Oh, my goodness. Usually I have to somehow quiet this great tumultuous multitude here. So, well, it's good to, for once, we have a beautiful day. And that's really nice. So we're glad you are here after the conference. So let's have a word of prayer and we will get going. Lord, I do thank you for each of these ladies that made the time to be here. Lord, would you bless this Bible study and give us wisdom and direction from you. May we go away knowing you've spoken to us, Lord. Without you, it's not worth it. I just pray you will meet with us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I hope you got to be. I notice some of you were able to be in the conference some, and that's a real blessing. If you didn't get on the podcast and listen to the services in order, I urge you to do that because the Lord just unusually spoke, I felt, through that conference, and very thankful for His goodness in that regard. It was a blessing. Some very practical things, such as Dr. Jim's message on really believing the love of God, and that the way he did that was just of the Lord, and co-infections from other issues and so on. So I encourage you to get a hold of that. All right, today we want to continue on. Of course, our whole theme is loving God with all your mind and truly believing in the goodness of God. And just like Dr. Jim's message on Thursday of last week, do we really, really, really believe that God loves us? Another one of those really, really, really important ones is, do we really believe God is good? And is good to us. Now we know that theologically, we would defend that, but when it comes to us, it's amazing how we can have a little bit of a question mark. And a question mark about God's goodness in our life can be devastating, even a little question mark. And our writer here has been using Romans 8:28 to talk about the goodness of God. So let's just look at it. Most of you could quote it. But I think it's good to look at the scripture itself. This is in the concluding part of the section in Romans on sanctification, and talking about the God's thorough work on our life. And in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And she focuses here in this chapter on all things. In fact, that was also in the last chapter. She's just expanding upon that here, and that we have to get it settled in our soul. And this is loving God with all of our mind. We've got to get it settled in our mind that God really does do right by us in all the aspects of life. There are not things that He misses, and He never has a negative intent. It's always for our good. And the reason I know, I mean, she's dealing with this because she knows in working with ladies, this is a big problem, men too, I mean, it's but her working with ladies. But I certainly know from my own experience how many times people will say, I believe God works all things together for good, but why did God allow this? The minute that little three-letter word comes in, why, you're in trouble. It's what is He doing? Now, why did He allow it? What good is He causing? Not where was He when that could have been stopped? And of course, we have said on a number of occasions when it comes to all that's been going on in our country over the last few months, God could have stopped that. He did not. He's using it for good for His own. And we have to believe that. But let's get down more to the personal aspects of our life. God does use all things. And all things are a different category of them. All things work together for good, including the most pressing problem that I have each day. And each day there is something that presses you more than other things. And sometimes they're not really bad things, but they're pressured things, or it can be a pressure because it is really something that's hard. But your number one problem each day, you ought to identify and say, Lord, I really give this number one problem to you. And it could be the same problem for a few days in a row, but I'm really believing that you will do what is right, and I thank you for this pressure. Instead of, somehow I got to survive this. Isn't that the way we do it? I mean, all of us have to face that reality. But whatever is pressuring you the most means that it's got the greatest good. God knows exactly what he's doing. And remember, there's no person in here that doesn't have a pressing problem each day. You know, sometimes the number one problem is a huge crisis, but they're all crises to us when they occupy our thinking. And it's amazing how we survive that which God wants us to revel in. God wants us to incorporate. And if you just survive life, number one, you really can get bitter. But number two, life just goes whew, because you're constantly surviving everything. Instead of embracing whatever God is allowing and learning the lessons and enjoying what God has for you. You know, it is so important, ladies, to embrace each day and be thankful for it. This is the day the Lord has made. And I'm going to be thankful I'm alive, have an opportunity to serve the Lord, and I'm not going to let my pressing problem absolutely snuff out the life of what this day is supposed to be. Did you know you can have a wonderful time in the midst of a pressing problem? In fact, folks, we have them every day, so you might as well go ahead and have the joy of the Lord with all of those things. What I'm telling you, I hope you're catching, but it really is an important little aspect of life, is to not live for the good days, but to make a good day out of all the days. And embrace 7 days a week and really, you know, stop sometimes and just say, Lord, I'm just thankful for what I have. Thankful that I can know you. Thankful I can walk with you. Thankful for what you have given me. In fact, that's the next category she talks about with all things. We need to be aware that God uses all the good things. And sometimes we forget that God is using the good things in our life. And we need to thank the Lord for that. You say, well, I got this problem and that, but you don't have a bunch of other problems, you know. There's a lot of things that other people have that you don't have. But just think of friendships that you have, wonderful blessings that are in your life. We've got a warmer day. Yay. You know, that's a good thing for one day anyway. But we've got a church we can go to. We have the Word of God. In other words, we got to realize, yes, God uses all things, the negative things, for our good. But he has given us so many things. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the very presence of Christ. I mean, you start listing out what we have. No wonder he can do such major things in our lives. And some of the most pressing problems we have are our good things. Now, if you're a mother of a smaller child, a smaller child can be a pressing problem, but a very good thing, right? And you wouldn't want to do without that child. What a blessing. But that child is also sometimes quite a challenge through the day. And your husband, what a blessing. What a challenge, you know. We just have to, honestly, we have to just look at the things that we have in our life and be thankful for all that is actually good and realize that that's the Lord's goodness. You know, we just miss out on that. I preached Sunday morning on the praise, how we need to be praising God. The sacrifice of praise indicates really where our life is. And how much are we really living outside the camp serving the Lord? So it is important to realize all things, including all the good things. But it does include the bad things. And that's normally what we think of when we look at 8:28 and all the different issues in life. Now, this is where your belief system really the rubber meets the road. Are the negative things going to be used for good? Absolutely. But I want you to note, what's the last part of that verse? The middle part. For good to them that love God. That means you have to make a decision in your life that you're believing God and that you do love Him and you want to put Him first. Because He cannot do for you what you will not let Him do for you. Now, He is good to chasten. He is good to still arrange circumstances. He will still take the bad things if you're genuinely a child of God and do everything He can to reach you and help you. And sometimes the bad things are chastening. But if you do love Him and you are walking by faith, then He can maximize the good things. Now, I feel so bad for Christians that just grumble about the Lord and grumble about what's happening in their life, and they're missing all the beauty of what God could do. They're resisting God because they're not walking by faith. They're reacting to what God is trying to do. There are bad things. You know, I look back and a number of crises, of course, each one of us have to go through, but I can tell you every crisis I've been through has been for great, great good in my life. And, you know, I personally, humanly didn't like them when they happened, but obviously my major story is my son's brain tumor, which is still an ongoing hard thing. But it's a great blessing, and God's healed, and tens of thousands of people have received the gospel through it. We have a precious son, and all of that, and it's changed my life. I'm sure I would not have the perspectives and the ministry that I have if I had not had that trial. There is so much good from that trial. I could spend an entire session talking about that. And there just are so many things, loss of loved ones, and loss of my sister early, which was very difficult, and different health trials. I remember when I snapped my ACL, that's the major ligament in your knee, playing football of all dumb things here, church just several years in, and I mean, I totally snapped it. I had to have a replacement, and that was a whole year rehabilitation. But all of that certainly made me look to the Lord. It was very humbling. It ruined my professional career. That's a joke. But anyway, but even all that I've had the opportunities to witness with all the different people you have to work with, plus it really helped me get in shape, stay in shape, conduct my life better. I tried to, I don't know if you weren't a nurse in the OR, were you? In the operating room?
Not yet. I was at home still. I went there at 91. When did you get it?
Well, I would have been about 89 probably. Yeah. Heard the doctor she worked with is the doctor that did it on me. Anyway, which I appreciate, and it's held well and doing fine. But what I'm saying is I'm just giving you a couple of personal illustrations. It sure didn't seem good at the time, you know, but the Lord uses all things for good. Now, folks, you have to choose to believe that. If you have that if only, why? It's not fair. Other people don't have this problem. I had to fight that with Wayne. You've heard me give my testimony. I remember one time I was going down the expressway and Wayne was still in Children's Hospital. We didn't have any idea whether he'd live or not. It had a third operation. I was weary as could be. My wife was expecting Pastor Van, so I had to stay through the nights. I couldn't let her hurt herself. So Lord, it was obvious who God was dealing with, that was me. But I remember going and I saw in the car next to me, we were on an expressway, and here's a cute little boy exactly the same age as Wayne. My initial thought was, that's not fair. They don't have a clue. And then God just smote my heart. No, it is. I can do what I want to do. And I'm doing something, and you've got to let me do it. And by the time I got home, I had real victory in my heart. And I remember it was that time. I went home and I had to speak that night. It was the first time I spoke in weeks. This wasn't here, it was in Chicago. And I remember getting home and my wife was gone. She was at the hospital. My daughter was at another home. And I was just studying downstairs. I didn't bother turning a light on. You know, when you're going through it, you just don't care about anything. You know, you just sort of focus on what you have to focus on. And all of a sudden everything got dark, and it's just, I looked up and it's all dark around me. And I just put my head down and I just, I think it was crying. I was just overwhelmed because it didn't look good for him at that moment. And then in my heart, it was, you know, it was spiritual, but it was like God was singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." One of the most sacred experiences I've ever had. I just had the experience of God's love. You know what? That trial was worth that moment. Our God is real. He knew exactly how to do it. In the darkest moment, He was there. And then He gave me freedom to preach that night. And the Lord is so good. So, folks, we have to choose. We have to decide. This is not bad. This is good. I don't understand it at the moment. But I'm not going to go why. I'm going to ask God, what are you doing for your glory? I'm not here for me. I'm here for you. And I am willing to let you do what you have with my life, and you get free in your heart. And honestly, like I said a little bit earlier, every day you've got to be able to stop, even in the midst of hard things, and stop, take a big breath, both physically and spiritually, and say, "Lord, I really, I'm so thankful that I know you, I'm saved, I can serve you, and I can have the joy of the Lord now, and I choose to enjoy this moment." Not escape into artificial things, but to really enjoy spiritually this moment. And what a blessing you can be if you allow yourself to be strengthened by the Lord. So all the bad things, the tragedies, we have got to believe God will use for good. And then the matter of large things. I actually just gave an illustration of a large thing with my son. Some, if we went around, most of you have a large trial, right? You've had a large trial. You've lost a major loved one, a spouse, several of you. You have had hard things with children. You have had other, the story in here is about a horrible accident that a young man had. He lost his leg and all, but he was rejoicing in giving his testimony. Everybody was stunned about how God got a hold of his heart, changed his life, and if it hadn't been for that, he wouldn't be serving the Lord today. I mean, it's a great illustration. But there are large things that happen. And the large things will either make or break you. And so you've got to, and by the way, sometimes you need other believers to help you get through the large things. Just be honest, I'm struggling. But I know what's right, and so would you pray with me? My dad had a dear friend named Dr. Frank Bumpus, a pastor of Bethel Baptist Church in Schaumburg. And Dr. Bumpus had one son that got killed in an accident. And my dad spent a lot of time with him because he really suffered. And then his next son got an accident and became a paraplegic. Got pressed up again. He was working at a dock and a semi just pressed right up against him, and it was a terrible thing. And at that point, he was in despair. And so my dad just took hours with him and stayed with him until he got over, realized that God was going to use this. And frankly, that's when Dr. Bumpus's ministry took off. And the Bethel Baptist Church became a mighty church at that point, and the Lord really used it. But, you know, sometimes you need a friend. But it better be a godly person who really does understand how God works. That's very important. And then all things means all those little things. There are just lots of little stuff that we need to, there are little bad things and there are little good things, right? And sometimes a little look on somebody's face. By the way, don't judge people on how they look at you. That's a whole nother lecture, okay? But you know, it's amazing. One word from somebody, one look can just ruin your day if you allow it to. that person may have had a stomachache at the moment. You don't know. I mean, honestly, we read into things. Remember, always give the benefit of the doubt like you want people to give the benefit of the doubt to you. Stop what you're thinking and give the benefit of the doubt. You may have been right on the negative response, but that's all right. Love believeth all things, right? And that really does help not to react. But just little things can really be a thorn in the flesh. You know, you can actually rise to big things and then get really tripped up with the little annoying things. You know, you had a bill come in that you didn't expect. Why did this happen? Or you weren't treated fairly in a job that was done on your house. That's a little bit bigger, but you know, those kinds of things. And it's amazing how we can get all bummed out about even a small thing in the home and lose our joy and lose what God is doing. By the way, don't forget all the good things that God does. I got a kick out of one of our students yesterday. He's from Canada. He gave a testimony and says, you know, the Lord is so good. He said, he lives off campus. He said, I was over at Woodman's and he has a very limited budget. And he was getting food and he saw bags of coffee and he thought, oh, you know, I'd love to get coffee, but that doesn't really fit within my, you know, my little tight budget. And then he saw Tim Hortons coffee. If you know anything, Tim Hortons is the Canadian equivalent of maybe Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks or whatever. And they'll live and die by Tim Duncan's. And he was the biggest pressure in the world to not buy that. But he finally stopped rationalizing and let it go. But he said, I did stop in the aisle and said, Lord, it would sure be nice if somehow miraculously you could get me Tim Hortons coffee. He said, I couldn't believe I prayed that, but he did. Well, at the end of the week, in comes the care package from Mama with Tim Hortons coffee. And he hadn't said a word to anybody about it. And he just said, you know, those little things, you know, those are just such helpful things when God, and you know, sometimes you don't even ask about it. That's why I love unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know, I'll say, well, Lord, thank you for answering my, I don't think I even prayed about that, my think. You know, I did think about it and you heard my thought. You know, when you love somebody, isn't it fun when they are thinking something they'd like and you can then meet that need? They don't even ask you for it. You just do it. Why? Because you love them. Well, that's our God. Think about all the things he's done for you that you've just thought about. How did that happen? Well, there is a God that does take care of you. So all things work together for good. Those little really frustrating bad things. And don't forget all those little good things that are just such a sweet blessing. I tell you, I have learned to do my best to stop and thank the Lord both sides for everything that's happening. Just keep that heart in focus. So the small things are very important. And then all things include people. That may be the biggest one. All things God will use. He uses people to be a blessing. And then he uses people who aren't necessarily a human blessing to you, but they end up being a blessing because God will use them in your life. Some people think that Paul's thorn in the flesh was a person. Could be. I don't know. I still think it was a physical condition. But, you know, a thorn in the flesh can certainly be a person on a regular basis that's a problem to you. And so God uses different people relationships to help us go to him, to learn how to love, to learn how to overcome wrong reactions. And like, for instance, she gives the illustration of Esther. Think of the people. She was an orphan girl and ends up queen that's helped save the Jews. Mordecai, her uncle, what a blessing. King Ahasuerus, not such a blessing, but because he got rid of his wife, he needed another one, so Esther got to be the queen. And God used that. Then the head of the chamberlain, the, you know, all of the ones that handled the concubines, he was used to have favor with Esther and help prepare her so that she could be the queen. And then Haman, he was not a blessing. He hated the Jews, and he was going to wreck the Jews, and God used that to do what? To bring Mordecai, after all of that was exposed, into being the prime minister of the greatest empire on earth at that time, the Medo-Persian Empire, and God forwarded the cause of the Jewish people during that time. So people, good and bad in Esther's life, all became a blessing. That's why, folks, don't hate people. Remember, people that are lost are going to act like they're lost. Carnal Christians are fighting against a bad conscience. Pray for them. Listen, people, one of the keys in your life, people that maybe are the hardest for you to be able to handle in your thoughts, those are the ones you need to pray until you get freedom. If you will pray every day for someone who is a problem to you and pray till God gives you a heart for them, you've lost it being a problem. Now, believe me, that works. That's really important. But you know why we don't? It's really hard to pray for them because we have to go through how we feel for a while. But then it exposes our problems, gets us over our resentments and bitterness, and gets us on to victory. So part of your prayer list needs to be people that are difficult for you to handle. And it will help you get free in your heart. So really believing this, and I'm going to end with this, will cause you to overcome doubt. Does God love you enough that everything works together for good? You got to believe that, no doubt. Emotions that come up, does that change the fact that all things work together for good? No. You cannot allow emotions to be a factor about truth. Big issue. Bitterness. You cannot have bitterness when you are no longer seeing people, situations as negative, but God's using them, you can have a right spirit. It will relieve you of bitterness. Negative responses, despair, discouragement, depression, defeat, anger, wrath, all of those things melt away when you really believe that God works all things together for good. I'm telling you, folks, I could speak and speak and speak on this. This is really where we live. And then manipulation. If you don't believe that everything works together for good, then you're going to take it in your hand to solve the problem. And then you'll get bitter, you'll get hard, you'll hurt people, and you'll take it out of God's hands. So I think those are some pretty good things. Wouldn't you like to be rid of doubt, negative emotions? Wouldn't you like to be rid of bitterness? Wouldn't you like to be rid of negative responses and manipulation? Absolutely. Well, believe that all things do work together for good. All right. So I appreciate the author just dealing with these things because they are very much where we live. We got a great God. He's all powerful. He is sovereign. He knows you. He knows what to do. He's not wringing his hands up there. He did not forget you. He's had you right in the middle of his focus. And when you start trusting him and love him, you know, you just will be amazed. He will shape your life. We've got all hope. We've got nothing but a great future. And you don't have to be scared about bad things because God will use them for good. So I trust you'll let the Lord work that way in your heart and encourage one another here at the tables in that regard. Let's have a positive conversation on how good God is, okay? And sometimes we talk about our problems, but if you're going to talk about your problems, you need them to be on the victory side. Okay, so let's encourage one another with it here today.